I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Always remember, if you ain't first, you're last.
That's right. You remember that, Dan Buck? Welcome back into the show. Dan and I in the break were just talking about Powerball and having to stop and get a ticket at some point today, right?
I got to stop and get gas on the way home. I thought, you know what? Got to run in. You can't win if you don't have a ticket.
You know what I've got in my grubby little fingers here?
Oh.
My last losing Powerball numbers.
I thought you already bought yours.
I did buy some, and I didn't win anything because it normally, I love the fact that it comes up and it goes, here's what they ought to do on the lottery machine. When you scan your ticket and you didn't win, it should say loser. Instead, it says not a winner.
Yeah. It should say dumb taxpayer.
Dumber.
It is like a tax on dumb people. I mean, I'm not a buyer of these things traditionally, but I'm like, it gets over $1 billion. How many people are like me? Like,
yeah.
I never buy them. I walk in and just think, oh, no, that's so dumb. But then you're thinking, oh.
And then it feeds on itself, and before long, it's going to be $3 billion. If nobody hits it, one in 292 million is your chance. So if you buy more than one ticket, you're really not increasing your odds any.
Yeah.
But most people are going to drop 10 or 20 bucks on it because isn't it $2 a pick now?
Yeah,
I think it is.
But wait a minute. You have to improve your odds if you buy more than one ticket.
But if your odds are one in 292 million, it's infinitesimal.
Well, I know,
buy
but
one
your
ticket
odds
or
are
five
better
tickets.
With four combinations than just two, right? Anyway.
I guess.
Yep. So anyway, well, if you're one of those and you're listening on the app or you're on Facebook or whatever, chime in. Tell us if you're going to buy a ticket today or are you just adamantly opposed to the lottery in general?
We know where Sue Thomas stands on it. I usually buy when it's big.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mind gambling. I love going to Vegas. And occasionally I love going to the casinos, playing cards. I don't like the slot machines, but I love to go play like a game of skill.
And Powerball, you don't need to get all seven, right? You can like get four and win something.
They had a couple $2 million winners last time and like $5 or $6 million winners.
I'm afraid $1.3 billion would kill me. I'd be buying planes. it would literally probably kill me. So maybe just a few million would be okay.
I'd buy this radio station.
Would you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
In a heartbeat.
This station owned by Mark Cox would be so dangerous.
Can you imagine?
It would.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
So that's
all
top
rules,
of my list.
All rules would be out the window, especially if you had $1 billion. Like, I don't care. Find me, FCC.
Now, you wouldn't hear me on this radio station, but I would own it.
Would you give us a raise?
Yeah, I'd give you all a raise, and then I would be on an island somewhere listening to it on the app.
There you go.
See?
But you just told me if I won, you'd run the station.
Well, that's
you'd
if you
here.
Won.
Oh, if I win.
If I win.
You're gone.
I'm taking my billion and leaving.
And I'll be running your and I'll be running your station.
however that would work out. Best of luck to you.
Good luck to everybody out there buying one of those tax tickets. That's what I call it. It's a tax ticket.
It is.
You're just paying extra taxes.
Half of it goes to back to the lottery.
Sure it does.
Oh, but
sure
it supports
does.
Education,
uh-huh.
Dan.
Yep,
come on.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, just think about that for a minute. Because they're keeping half, right? And they're also going to take half of your earnings to go to other taxes, right? Wouldn't the taxes of this like pay for all education in about six states?
Wouldn't you think so?
I mean, just this drawing.
It should.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
People say, oh, you know, the Missouri's lottery all goes to your tax or goes to your school districts. No, they just take it out of the general fund and they don't put it in and they just replace it. They don't give more money to education. Don't get me started. I'm sorry.
I've had too much coffee this morning. All right. Then you needed it. Coming up, just a reminder, today we're going to go out and drop off food for our Feed Our First Responders that we do every month. And proud to announce that today we will be heading to Collinsville, Illinois, and recognizing the chief over there, Brett Borm, who has, of course, been nominated here. The nomination reads, the chief deserves recognition in general for his many years of service, including time spent with the Major Case Squad and the FBI Academy in D.C., but I feel he deserves special recognition for this nomination due to outstanding leadership in that he demonstrated while handling a high-profile local murder case.
That's awesome.
And congratulations to Chief Borm. We'll be delivering food. GrillmasterTony.com is the place to go. But Grillmaster Tony, Tony Stone, is making food for the department today, and he and I'll be meeting over there this morning to deliver it.
There's so many of us who are listening to this show who know a great cop.
Yep.
You know a great firefighter. Nominate them. Get them a free grub and surprise them with it. I mean, I you said you're sometimes tough getting nominations.
Like, well, we need a few more. We certainly have some, but we'd always love to get more. So
absolutely.
971talk.com/contests. We make that really easy for you there, and get on there and nominate your favorite. Coming up, we'll get Senator Adam Schnelting to talk more about the special session. I understand he played a key role maybe in some negotiations on this initiative petition reform that could happen for the finally could happen. So we'll get details from him coming up here in just a minute. But first, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Everyone in March today in California ruled that your deployment of National Guard troops to Los Angeles was illegal.
Very importantly, what did you not tell me in that question or statement?
I think? Well, I was asking for your response.
No, you didn't say what the judge said, though.
The judge said the 300 troops you have can remain, but you can't send any more. So to Trump, that is a win because he still has some troops there, apparently, and they were only there to guard the federal buildings. He should be able to do that anywhere in the country.
Absolutely.
For the record.
Yeah.
And it's an insult to any and every citizen to suggest that any governor should have to beg the president of any political party for resources owed their people.
Interesting. He's afraid of losing money, and I think he's afraid the National Guard might get between him and the buffet line.
Vast majority of guns do not come from Chicago. They are not made in Cook County. They are not bought in the state of Illinois. These guns come from red states.
This is their excuse. It's not the people pulling the trigger. It's the inanimate object that the criminal picked up to commit the crime. And now they believe that none of that would be happening if they hadn't been able to steal the guns from somewhere else. These people are criminally insane.
Well, we're going in. I didn't say when. We're going in. When you lose, look, I have an obligation. This isn't a political thing. I have an obligation.
To make America safe again. It's pretty simple. You either care about making America better and securing wins for the American people, or you don't. Now, I would think the gift of life, that is, as in not losing yours, would be about the biggest gift you could give someone.
I don't. Wouldn't you? Yeah, and I don't understand their fear. Their vocalization against military personnel. I mean, when I go to St. Robert, I do some business down there, and I go and there will be, you know, people from Fort Leonard Wood in the restaurants and soldiers with their families and different people. And I mean, it's almost like a sense of pride when you're around those young soldiers.
You mean
soldiers.
It didn't make you nervous?
Not at all.
Come on,
that's
Dan.
What I don't understand. I'm like, what is so intimidating about a U.S. soldier in a battalion that might be patrolling a neighborhood? To me, it'd be like, look, man, we got some good guys finally in the neighborhood who are willing to step up and help us. I don't know why they're going to the mat on this. And you know, drawing a line in the sand when we're talking about good guys with guns coming into neighborhoods to try to stop people from dying.
You should be proud.
You should be proud. You should be. How is that any different than a police officer in a squad car in a uniform with a gun on his hip?
Because it's a dictatorship. It's coming from Donald Trump. We can't have it.
It just makes no sense to me. I'm so proud of being around U.S. military people and why they look at them as like the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
They'd rather see the thugs and the gang members and drive-by shootings than to see U.S. military personnel helping bring peace to your streets.
It's unbelievable.
It is
happening all over the country. Donald Trump has convinced these people to be pro-crime. I did it, but he did it. Wow. Coming up, Senator Adam Schnelting on the special session and what he's expecting to get done by the end of next week.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Be right back. Well, it is a special session getting underway today down in Jefferson City. The House of Representatives will be in session first, followed by the members of the Missouri Senate. And we are lucky enough to get Senator Adam Schnelting on from District 23 this morning. Adam, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's a great day.
Absolutely. Good to get you on here. You know, I was listening to an interview with your friend Nick Schroer yesterday on the Mark Reardon Show. And I overheard Nick giving you credit for helping kind of craft this IP reform bill. And I wanted to get you on here to talk a little bit more about that this morning. It's my understanding the governor wasn't going to call a special session for that unless he knew that there were at least the framework for an agreement.
Yeah, well, that's right, Mark. So before our regular session ended earlier this year, I had met with the governor and I'd asked him to call a special session for IP reform. He had told me that he'd be willing to do it, but in order for that to be the case, we would have to first build consensus among our colleagues in the House and in the Senate. So the Senate pro tem, the president pro tem of the Senate asked me to lead the charge at getting interested senators together to hash out our policy differences and then agree to a baseline plan that we could all get behind. And of course, once we did that, we were able to go ahead and speak to members of the House, try to build consensus there as well, and then talk to the governor's office. And at that point, the understanding was that he may be willing to call that special session for IP reform. And that's exactly what I did and what some of others have joined me doing. And here we are.
So originally the debate was, just to catch people up, we just raised the threshold from 50% to 56 or 57%. So you'd have to get some buy-in from the other side in order to change the Constitution. What this version of it does, correct me if I'm wrong, is it keeps it at 50% plus one vote, but it must also get 50% plus one vote in 5 of the 8 congressional districts. Is that correct?
Well, no. So it is close. So that's what was proposed last session through the legislature. That's called concurrent majority. What this proposal does is, here's a baseline. Two things, the most important things, and there are going to be slight variations because this is going to begin in the House and then end up in the Senate. So while it's going to be amended and it'll have slight variations, the baseline is the same. It's going to require that our laws and our constitutional amendments must be approved by a majority of voters, not only statewide, but in each congressional district. And that raises a bar. So our constitution shouldn't be changed by a mere 50% of the statewide vote. Otherwise, you're going to consistently have St. Louis and Kansas City changing our constitution without a statewide consensus on those changes. What this does is this says, well, in each of the congressional districts, it has to pass.
I love
that. That's a higher bar. In addition to that, it also prohibits foreign adversaries from influencing our elections to change our laws and our constitution.
Did Amendment 3 spearhead this discussion and put it to the forefront? I mean, everyone was appalled that special interest was able to come in from out of state, pour billions into a petition drive, and of course get it on a ballot and win by a very narrow margin to make abortion all the way up to 9 months legal in the state of Missouri. Was that the impetus of getting this special session and trying to get something done this year?
You know, it's a great question, Mark. I think it's a little bit of everything. That's a big piece of it. I think that was a real wake-up call to conservatives and Republicans around the state. Bottom line, I mean, there's some of us, like I've been in the legislature now, what, seven years. In my first year, I introduced legislation to or my first term, rather, I introduced legislation to protect our Constitution with IP reform. Like, this is something that we've been working at for a long time. Our Declaration of Independence states that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Amen. In other words, governments shouldn't be changed on a whim. The Constitution is a foundational document for our government. It contains our structure and how our system works. So being the highest charter of our land, so to speak, it's something that we shouldn't be able to change on a whim. Sure as heck shouldn't have foreign adversaries influencing our elections. But look, you may recall last year, right before the election, you had me on your show, Mark, and there were three things. You asked about my priorities. There were three things I told you. I mentioned my top three: fighting for the unborn and their mothers, and I spearheaded this session with the HJR 73, fighting crime in St. Louis, which, you know, Nick championed the police bill, removing the St. Louis control of the police department to the police board. I supported that as Nick championed and carried that issue. But the third thing I mentioned was IP reform. So, I mean, this has been on our docket for a while, but it is finally about time that we actually have the support in the legislature to get it done.
And redistricting, obviously, is the other big climb here. How are you feeling about that? Is there momentum?
Well, there is momentum. In fact, as soon as I heard the president get behind that notion, I immediately knew that our state is going to go ahead and get that done. Listen, a few years ago, I think, what was it, 20, you know, well, I'll just say a few years ago. I can't even remember the exact year, but I was one of the only a handful of members of the House who voted in support of a 7-1 map. I supported it then, and I support it now. Now, Mark, if you look at states like, you know, Vermont, you know, in Vermont, you have 32% of Vermonters voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Yet they don't have a single congressman, a Republican congressman. 36% of Massachusetts, same situation. 38% of Hawaii, of Hawaiians. Connecticut, Maine, New Mexico, 42 and 46%. The list goes on. So I believe it's time for Missouri values to be more represented, more accurately represented in Congress. Yeah. And our nation greatly depends on it, Mark.
So from a time perspective, House meets starting today, Senate meets starting next week. Is this just 2 weeks? Is it this week and next week?
Yeah, that's essentially it. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be this week, and it's going to end on the 12th. Okay. That is the current tentative schedule. That's right.
All right, good. Well, luck. Senator Schnelting, listen, appreciate you doing that. This is long overdue. Just one last question here. I got about 30 seconds left. When would it likely go on the ballot? Would it be August or November of next year?
It would likely be August of next year. The governor, that's within the governor's purview, but more than likely, it would probably be in the August.
There you have it. Senator Adam Schnelting, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Take care of yourself. Appreciate that.
And appreciate his hard work on that issue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Long overdue. Maybe we'll finally get it to the finish line, I hope. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about business. Stay tuned.
Well, we're going in. I didn't say when. We're going in. When you lose, look, I have an obligation. This isn't a political thing. I have an obligation. When we lose, when 20 people are killed over the last 2.5 weeks and 75 are shot with bullets. So let me tell you a little story about a place called D.C., District of Columbia, right here where we are. It's now a safe zone.
Yeah, that's good for residents. I would also think that it would be good for the business community. They would have to breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief, I would think. But I don't live in Chicago, but Kelly Saberi does with Fox Business, and she's up there reporting today on maybe how businesses are reacting to this possibility. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, thank you for giving us a few minutes today. We really appreciate that. I saw the story you're covering, and I thought to myself, well, I know that in big cities across the country, a lot of stores that operate in downtown have closed their doors because of shoplifting and other sorts of crime. I wonder if there aren't some businesses up there that might welcome a little bit of intervention.
Yeah, well, it's actually all over the city, so not just in the center of it, but there are two perspectives on this. So there are many business owners, whether it's bars or candy stores or anything in between, who say, we've been dealing with serious violent crime, whether that's breaking into the store, smashing the windows of the store, causing so much damage, or them quite literally being in the crosshairs of the gunfire. But for other business owners, the perspective is that it would divide the city. And not only that, but there is some thought that if the National Guard comes in, it won't be going to where their business is located. Hmm. So the thought process is that they'll be going to perhaps the more touristy areas. There's been a lot of criticism of Governor Pritzker of Illinois coming to the riverfront, to the Riverwalk, standing there to have his press conference and saying, hey, look how safe it is here. And while there are a lot of tourists there, perhaps a lot of police there, you know, this is where our office is. We're looking at the river right now. You know, if more National Guard, or not more, I should say, if the National Guard comes in here, it wouldn't really be helping those businesses. And that's what some who are leaders in the business community have said. But again, like I mentioned at first, there are other businesses who have been personally affected who are really passionate about there needing to be a change. And on top of that, they, for example, the person that I speak to in my story today on Fox Business owns a bar in the Westtown neighborhood, for those who are familiar. He says that when he tried to call 911 after one of the bigger incidents, it took the police 4 hours to get there. And he says he does not blame the police. He says that the police he's spoken to say that they need this help.
Yeah. You know, Michigan Avenue, the Riverwalk, those are not the areas of major concern. While they've had their protests, they've had some, you know, recent violence over the past year or two. It's South Chicago. Let's just face it. The biggest crime wave and all these shootings from the weekend. That's a massive massive. People don't understand. It's bigger than the entire city of Boston. It is a large geographical area. And to try to get a hold of this and to try to squelch this, you need troops, lots of them, to try to bring enough presence, don't you think? Is there a sense in South Chicago, business owners, residents, that they would welcome a large presence to try to stop the killing?
If they are going to go there, yes. That we've spoken to business owners who, you know, have shops and restaurants down there who say this is something that's needed. But only if they, like you said, come to that neighborhood or to those neighborhoods, I should say. It is very diverse. And like you said, it's a large area of South and West Chicago that could potentially use this help.
Yeah, it's interesting, Kelly. I mean, I don't know if I've been to D.C. and I've been to Washington and I've been to Chicago. Looking at this from afar, my thought would be, well, of course the troops are going to go to where the trouble is, because if they hadn't done that in Washington, they wouldn't have been able to quell or squash the number of crimes like they did. Correct? Doesn't it just, is there, do we really believe they would go there and not go to the high crime areas?
Well, there is only a certain distinction of where the National Guard can go. And okay. From our understanding, they can go and protect federal buildings. So I believe the reason why there's kind of this back and forth between the governor of Illinois and the president is that, you know, he's saying, I would love for Governor Pritzker to call me and say we have a problem. And Pritzker has, you know, doubled down and said, I'm not going to call you because he doesn't believe that there is a problem.
Right.
But I believe that Pritzker has to ask in order for the troops to be able to go anywhere.
Got it.
The mayor of D.C. has kind of changed her tune over the past, you know, 14 to 21 days, you know, first oppositionally defiant against the president and against the troop movements. In the past week, she's obviously been singing the praises because of the evidence and the enormous drop in violent crimes against their citizens. Do you think that they don't want to do this simply because they're afraid it might work and that Trump would gain even more points?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, the president says it's not political. The governor says that his response is not political. But I think a lot of the residents here, you know, I won't speak as a reporter. I won't say what I think, but the residents have told us that they feel like there is politics intertwined to this when they're just asking for help.
Yeah, but they are wanting help. They recognize that every weekend is a shoot show, right? I mean, it's a shooting show. It's ridiculous the amount of gunfire on the streets in and around Chicago.
Many of them do. Many of them do want this. The president of, I believe it was the Illinois Restaurant Association, is one of the people, though, that's spoken out and said this is not a good idea. A lot of the people we've spoken to are advocates for this, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Kelly Saberi with Fox Business, we do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yep. Appreciate that.
Man.
It's tough. I mean, I don't know how
business owners wouldn't just be clamoring for this.
Yeah.
I don't know what the downside would be. They're getting robbed. They're getting, you know, their windows bashed in. They're having, you know, nightly break-ins. I mean,
well, I'll be honest with you. I believe that their hesitation for it is political. Like when she said, for some of them, they think politics is intertwined with this. Their response, if they're opposed to more security, is political. They don't want to give Donald Trump a win. If it's the presence of the National Guard that stops the gangbanger from getting in his car and spraying his handgun with his semi-automatic handgun, or he's got the little Glock connector on there that makes it rapid fire down the street and hitting 15 people, and he doesn't do that because there's an armed personnel carrier at the end of the street with National Guard troops, that's a win. Every resident should see that as a win. The guy in the guard uniform is not a threat to you. Unless you're a criminal.
Yesterday we played that video clip from the youth football game where the entire teams, coaches, referees, fans all had to take the deck, hit the deck because there was gunfire ringing out on all sides of them in a gang war, and they can't even play youth football without having gun violence on their cities. Anyone in those communities who would say it's a bad idea to bring good guys into the neighborhood with guns and a show of force, that we're not going to tolerate this anymore, I question whether it's political or just insanity, because that's what it would be defined as. Completely insane to not ask for federal
for
support.
Help. No, yeah. I completely agree with that. All right, coming up, an update. I didn't see this, but I think this. I haven't heard this reported anywhere else, about the mother of that shirt shooter up in Minneapolis. We're going to get to that when we get back.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If it look like a duck, walk like a duck, and quack like a duck, it's a duck.
Is that declarative enough for you? Is that a declarative enough statement? It is. That's Corrine Brown, the former congresswoman who got indicted for fraud and sent to prison.
But if it looks like a duck
and quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck. Right? Look, we're a week out from the shooting in Minneapolis. Not quite a week, right? Here's the headline from the New York Times a couple days ago. What motivated the Minneapolis church shooter? We may never know.
What?
How could you write a headline like that and look at people straight in the eye?
After like, all of the evidence that was publicly available
for
hours and hours.
He was a hate-filled
Jew-hating,
Christian-hating, Christian. He hated everybody.
Children, hates children.
And he hated himself.
Yeah.
He happened to be transgender, right? And who knows how much of that mental illness fueled what caused him to do this. I don't know.
Said he regretted his transition.
His motivation was he was nuts. He regretted trying to become a woman. He never had things chopped off, but he was still a fully intact male who just grew his hair long and called himself a different name. He was nuts, right? Because only a crazy person would go shoot up a church. It's easy to draw the conclusion. He went to school there. His mom used to work there. Figuring out what his motivation was is not difficult. So what are they going to do in Minnesota to stop it? Oh, Governor Walz is going to call a special session for more gun laws. Because if we just had more gun laws, it would have stopped this crazy man. Well, no, it wouldn't, because his parents never sought to get him committed to a mental institution so that that would go on his record and he wouldn't be able to buy a gun. And more gun laws would do no good.
Zero. And to his parents' defense is that they were told, oh, you must embrace his transition or he'll commit suicide.
So apparently,
right? Because that's their big sales pitch.
The focus, though, Dan, has been on the mom.
Yeah.
Because the mom signed off on his driver's license or his birth certificate sex change. Like being switched, changing his name from Robert to Robin. Mom signed off on it. And she's lawyered up and she lives in Florida. But here's the truth of the matter. She went to Florida to get away from this bunch of nuts that she had lived with in Minnesota. I just found this story yesterday and I thought it was fascinating. It is from the Lifestyles News Organization, which is a religious organization. But listen to this. Testimony from a family acquaintance suggests early ire directed at Mary Westman was misplaced in that it was her now ex-husband who was the one fully in support of his son's transition. And, I thought this was interesting. So the mother apparently was opposed to all of this, and he referred to that in his diatribe. Your words, mother, made me stay in my discomfort, unable to ask for help, to avoid admitting defeat. You were right, mama, but the way you handled it led me to wanting to kill so many people. He's trying to blame his mom for it.
Yeah.
She apparently only filed the application to let her son change his name because she had been told, if you don't do this, he might kill himself, which is the false lies they tell these kids who want to transition. When I was first out to my mother, she was very antagonistic, he claimed. She made me hate myself and think I will never be good enough. I remember one day she said something like, in the future, you'll look back and feel ridiculous about who you feel like you are inside. You will regret this. Well, guess what, Mom? I do regret being born. It's part of the notes he got out of his diary.
Yeah.
He blamed his mom. But his mom was very conservative. It was his dad who gave him permission to do all these things she didn't approve of. She finally divorced the dad and moved to Florida after her son's 18th birthday and was heartbroken over all of it.
Man. Tough.
So that's something that I didn't know about the mother, but we're too busy in the New York Times trying to tell you we just don't know what motivated him. And Tim Walz is too busy laughing about the potential death of a president and then trying to claim that some special session on gun laws will make it all better and this won't happen again.
And not treating the transgender issue for what it is, and that being that we have a mental health crisis in America, in our youth, and we're doing nothing to address that. Instead, let's go after law-abiding citizens' guns and try to...
That's what they're doing in Minnesota, just so you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Vance, by the way, is there today with his wife.
They're saw that.
Meet with families.
Yeah. I bet they won't meet with Walz, probably.
No.
Would be my guess. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade is up next. Stick around for Annie and Mark. Keep your radio tuned right here to 97.1 FM Talk. We'll see you tomorrow.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.